For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
So let's open in prayer as we look through this tonight. Okay, our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you, Lord, for showing us through your word the connection between the inner man and the outer man, and for showing us that you want us to glorify you in our body and in our spirit. And we praise you, Lord, for that. And I pray that tonight there be a special blessing on all those that have hearing and listening and attentive ears in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So tonight we're looking at our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so we're up to this part here, our love for God, our neighbour, ourself. And love thy neighbour as thyself means loving yourself and not destroying yourself, just like you would not destroy others. For example, it's obviously, and I'll give some blatant examples here, it's obviously evil to push people into getting addicted to alcohol or cigarettes or getting them to do various things which act against themselves. And the Bible says in Luke 10 verse 27, talking what Jesus said, and he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbour as thyself." So love will not want to hurt or destroy thy neighbour, and it won't want to hurt or destroy yourself. Do you love God? Well, there is a connection here with loving God and loving yourself as well. So looking a bit at creationist things here, our body is clearly designed by God. Now the atheist would say the body came about through evolution, not design. The Bible believer would say that's funny, because we actually observe all types of design features in the human body, such as tubes, systems, hinges, joints, lenses, gates, electrical wiring, machinery and genetic coding. It is only by design, through a supremely informed designer, that this could be. The fact that we are on a cursed, sinful planet explains deficiencies in the human body, such as death, sickness, disease, infirmity, and weakness. And we could look at Romans 5:12, which talks about sin entering into the world, and Romans 8:22, which talks about the whole creation groaneth and travaileth. So obviously sin has brought in various deficiencies, and that's obviously why our bodies age as well. So we see that it's not hard to see that if our bodies are designed by the Lord, he wants us to function on the earth. And if you see that your body is connected to God, then you see that there is a responsibility associated with that. We read in 1 Corinthians 6, for example, that we should glorify God in our spirit and in our body. So there's books, creationist books you could get, which clearly talk about our body as designed by God. For example, this creationist series, God's Wondrous Machine, talks about the electrifying nervous system. Notice the word system. The complex circulatory system. And the breathtaking respiratory system. So you can look at that on Masterbook's website there. So if the body is a biological machine, then it needs good maintenance. We're to take care of our bodies, such as right eating, exercise, fasting, proper rest, good sleep. The Bible calls that sweet sleep. Good hygiene. And we should couple this with believing correctly, and the body will last a long time on the earth. For example, in Proverbs 3 verse 2 says, "For length of days and long life and peace shall they," talking about God's words, "add to thee." And of course, we need to get the Word of God into our heart, because the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It also says that God's Word is a health to all our flesh. So it's important for us to see that. In Genesis 2 verse 7, for example, we know that God made the body from the dust of the ground to function on the earth. So we should see our bodies as biological machines, and our inner man is in that body, and it is joined to the body, because if I walk from here over to the door, obviously my inner man doesn't stay here. No, it goes with the body. So you can see that there is, the Lord has made it so the inner man and outer man are joined together until at the time of death, when the inner man will separate from the body. So certain habits harm our body, so we should cultivate good habits with respect to the body. So do not do things that deliberately destroy or harm the body. The Bible says, get out of sluggard habits and consider the ants' ways. Let's have a look at Proverbs 6, verse 6. It's a good one to consider here. Proverbs 6, verse 6. Now, Proverbs 6, 6 says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Consider her ways and be wise. What do we know about ants? Well, they're not lazy. God is against slothfulness and sluggardness. And Proverbs 6, verses 9 to 11 says, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travelleth, and thy want as an armed man. We should see poverty as more than just financial. Okay, poverty can also be poverty of health. And you can see in 3 John 2, for example, it links prosperity and health together. So the body needs good quality sleep. Proverbs 3, verse 24 says, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Okay, so you can see that you've got to get fear out of your heart. All right. You probably are aware of this, that if a person is full of worry or fear, their sleep departs from them. And because they're consumed and they're thinking on that, and they can toss to and fro in bed. So we need to obey the Word of God, which says, where Jesus commanded, let not your heart be troubled, for example, in John 14. Psalm 127 verse 2 said, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth his beloved sleep. So he's relating to a sorrowful type of behaviour, or a sorrowful type of person there, who's allowed various things to get into their heart. God wants you to have good quality sleep, and he gives the sleep. So it's a good thing to say, thank you, Lord, I claim sweet sleep in the name of Jesus. And you've given me not a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. And so we need to get that sorrow, that fear out of us. And even if we're surrounded by various sorrowful or disturbing things, remember our inner man and our outer man is connected. So the body needs good quality sleep. Also, too much sleep is not good. And I got this from healthline.com, and it's probably a good thing to look at. It says, even if you don't have a sleep disorder, regularly oversleeping may have a negative impact on your health. Some complications may include headaches, obesity, diabetes, back pain, depression, heart disease, increased risk of death. In today's environment, where there's a lot of people working from home, it's good to get into a proper regime of doing that. Get up at the same time, do your work. That's what I do. Do your work, stop for breaks, and then, you know, go right to the end. Rather than saying, "Wow, now I've got an opportunity to sleep until midday, and then I can get on to it." And I can. It's almost like pretending you're working from home. No. It's best to get into a regularity. Lack of exercise is also not good. So exercise has many benefits. Remember, the body needs maintenance. In a book by Brannan and Feist, it says, during the past 50 years, research has accumulated to support the hypothesis that physical activity is associated with both cardiovascular health and improved physiological functioning. So regular, moderate physical activity can reduce the incidence of cardiovascular disease, diabetes, colon cancer, and high blood pressure. Moreover, physical activity can reduce symptoms of depression and anxiety, increase feelings of well-being, and enhance ability to perform daily tasks. It's better to do something than nothing in this area. It's better to do 2 minutes than no minutes, to do 10 minutes than 1 minute, and so on. So, and you don't have to. What you have to do is get into a habit for that, and it's not difficult. You don't have to say, "Well, I've got to do an hour a day now." No, it's probably best to get started with 2 minutes a day if you've been doing nothing, and just doing that. Say, "Well, I'm going to walk around the block or walk over there or something like that." All right, overeating and bad eating is not good. So in health psychology, eating and weight, it says obesity is associated not only with increased mortality but also with increased use of healthcare and increased chances of developing type 2 diabetes, gallbladder disease, and high blood pressure. Obesity also raises the risk for migraine headache, kidney stones, sleep apnea, respiratory problems, liver disease, osteoarthritis, reproductive problems in women, and colon cancer. We won't turn to it, but in Proverbs 21:1-3, it talks about deceitful meat. That is, it might look and taste okay, but there's lots of bad stuff in it. Why are we going through this? Well, it's good to have a warning. It's good to understand these things rather than put our heads in the sand. The Bible also instructs us to fast. So fasting coupled with prayer helps us to connect our body to our soul so that we focus more on the spiritual. And of course, fasting is not just like some people think, and I know obviously amongst the sports people, fasting is connected to the almost like dieting, but in the spiritual sense, it's putting the body down so that our souls is starting to focus on the Lord, and we focus more on the spiritual. So you'll see a lot of fasting and prayer connected together. So moreover, when you fast, this is from Matthew 6:16a. As it says, when ye fast, not if. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance. Also notice in Psalm 35 verse 13, I humbled my soul with fasting and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. Humbling your soul, often you don't want to fast, but once you get into it, from my experience, I've fasted anywhere between one meal up to 20 days, and it's I can tell you that one day is easy. Once you get past 5 days, it starts to get easier, and it requires you not to say, "Well, I'm going to do a 7-day fast," and you've never done a 7-day fast. Why don't you try fasting one meal? Just one meal. And say, "Well, today I'm not going to eat lunch, and I'm going to pray and look into the Word instead." Also, you can see, for example, in Matthew 17:21, Jesus spoke about prayer and fasting as well, talking about when you come against or come to particular spiritual problems. He said, "Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." So fasting is also good for the body's functions, as I mentioned before. Amongst the sports people, they do fasting on a regular basis, and there's quite a few benefits to it. And I'll just go through these benefits so that it's on the record here. It promotes blood sugar control by reducing insulin resistance, promotes better health by fighting inflammation, enhances heart health by improving blood pressure, triglycerides, cholesterol levels, boosts brain function and prevents neurodegenerative disorders, aids weight loss by limiting calorie intake and boosting metabolism, increases growth hormone secretion, vital for growth, metabolism, weight loss and muscle strength, helps delay ageing and extends longevity, and may aid in cancer prevention. So there's not just a spiritual benefit to it, there's also a bodily benefit to it as well. Let's have a look at an area which, sadly, there's a lot of compromise amongst Christians, and that's the area of alcohol. Obviously, the Bible doesn't use the word beer, but it does use the word wine in a couple of different contexts. The Bible the word wine just means preserved grape juice. Okay, and the Bible shows that wine could be of two types. For example, in Nehemiah 13, verse 12, the non-alcoholic type is brought out. It says, "Then brought all Judah the tithe of the corn and the new wine and the oil unto the treasury." So obviously the new wine is that wine just come off the vine, hasn't had time to ferment. Proverbs 23, verses 31 and 32 does talk about the alcoholic type of wine. There's quite a few scriptures that talk about the alcoholic, and it talks about it in the negative sense. For example, in Proverbs 23, 31 and 32, it says, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its colour in the cup, when it moveth itself aright, at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder." Okay, so what's the alcoholic type wine compared to, but to poison, isn't it? And so that's the way we should be viewing alcoholic beverages and even alcohol in food, as being the addition of poison into people's bodies. So we don't want that, and we shouldn't want that. There is a lot of problems associated with alcohol, and I want to go through just a few of them here. Drinking alcohol is not good. And Brennan and Face says this: "Alcohol is more widely consumed than any other drugs, not only in the United States, but in many other countries. And its use both presents problems and raises questions. Alcohol produces a variety of hazards, both direct and indirect. Direct hazards are the harmful physical effects of alcohol itself, adversely affecting many organ systems in the body, especially the liver. Indirect hazards are the harmful consequences that result from psychological and physiological impairments produced by alcohol through effects on aggression, judgment, attention, coordination, and cognitive functioning." And it's no wonder. So these are non-Christians saying this. It's no wonder that it's recognised as basically being quite poisonous to the body and also to the mind. So the body was not made to drink alcoholic beverages, and the body, so the Bible even shows this. For example, in Genesis 9, verses 20 and 21, it talks about Noah. It says, "And Noah began to be an husbandman," that's in the garden, "and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent," and there were problems that came out of that. You can read it for yourself. And as we said before, we quoted Proverbs 23 and verses 31 and 32, which talked about wine that's alcoholic being like the bite of a serpent or the sting of an adder. So it's very clearly poisonous in the biblical sense. This comes from an Australian advertisement several years ago. You may have remembered this. Alcohol, it's what you can't see that can cause the most damage, and it talks about some of the problems with the brain. It can make people open to problems in that. Other drugs for the body. The Bible is not against medicines that contribute to the proper functioning of the body. For example, in Proverbs 17 verse 22, it says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." So you can see that it's saying that certain medicines are good and can be used, and that's fine. What we find, though, is that there are some medicines that clearly cover up problems, and rather than allow the body to flow like a tonic, it stops the flow of certain things in the body. So there are drugs and medicines that act against the body. And, for example, Jeremiah 46 verse 11 says, "Go up into Gilead," or Gilead's a type of the church, "and take balm, O virgin, the daughter of Egypt," which is a type of the world. "In vain shalt thou use many medicines, for thou shalt not be cured." So there's also a spiritual connection to that as well. I'm not going to go into great detail about other drugs that damage the body. I'm sure that you've heard a lot about them. And this is by no means a full list, but there's some things we'll just point out here. There are well-known physical and mental problems associated with other drugs used recreationally, in inverted commas, such as cigarettes, marijuana, which can be ingested not as cigarettes as well, hallucinogenic drugs, which clearly have an effect on the mind and the body. The Bible is clear that Christians must glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So there's a clear connection between, for example, cigarettes and lung cancer and other cancers. So it's not hard to see that these type of things are damaging the body, not helping the body. And remember, the Bible says that Christians should avoid all appearance of evil. I believe that Christians need to be abstinent from drugs that damage the body. So, soul-altering drugs that affect the body, I'll just mention this as well. The use of psychotropic or mood-altering drugs was spurred by the false science of psychiatry and the love of money and power. For example, Neville Millen, in The Medicalization of Deviance, notice that term there, medicalization of deviance. So psychiatry became a medical specialty only in 1934. However, the growth of more specific asylums for the mentally ill gradually consolidated the professional development of psychiatrists, and history shows that the number of patients in mental asylums increased sixfold from 1880 to the mid-1920s. In the mid-20th century, psychotropic drugs were heralded as a new wave strategy to control psychoses. Today, the use and sale of mood disorder drugs is a multi-billion dollar industry in most Western nations. And by the way, there is a biblical way, and I don't have time to go into it, but there's a biblical way to approach what the world calls mental illness. So we must honour God with our body. Do not do things that deliberately destroy or alter the body. Romans 12, 1 and 2, we've quoted this, we'll quote it again. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, what? A living sacrifice. It's holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God says it's your reasonable service to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. So a good habit to get into is when you get up in the morning, say, I present my body today as a living sacrifice for God. And that's a reasonable service to God. And of course, the transformation by the renewing of your mind comes through thinking on right things, getting the Word of God into your heart, things like that. Okay, so there's a common trend of people tattooing their bodies. Let me just comment on a few things related to this. The heathen, that is those unsaved, do many things that deliberately destroy or harm the body. Jeremiah 10 verse 2 says, thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. We now find that there's even Christians who, you know, in the past, Christians were heavily discouraged from getting tattoos. Now, there are places of compromise where that's not the case, just like the alcohol and other drugs area. But the Bible's pretty clear. Leviticus 19:28 says, you shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am the Lord. And the Bible, basically, we don't have time to go into great detail about it, but you can see, for example, in Genesis 4:15 and Revelation 7 verse 3, only the Lord should mark people. In fact, there's a great warning in Revelation 13 verse 16b, which talks about those who willingly receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads from the beast. They're in great trouble. And you can read what that trouble is in Revelation 14, 9 to 11, and Revelation 16, verse 2, and Revelation 19, verse 20. We don't have time to go into that tonight. But the way we should view our body is, okay, the Lord has the authority over my body. It is His. He purchased it with a price. And if He says not to print any marks upon myself, I'm not going to do it. You can see some people go to real extremes. They don't even try to cover up their tattooing. So it's almost become a real pride issue for some people. I believe it's heavily connected to rebellion in a lot of ways as well. Being rebellious causes many to do the wrong things, and tattoos are often done with intents at variance to the Lord. Out of rebellion, yet you probably heard it say, oh, my mum didn't want me to get one, but I decided to get a little one here, you know. Almost as though I don't care what my mum had to say about it, I'm going to do it anyway. In the past, you would know and are aware of this. Pirates were tattooed, and you often see them in that way. And pirates are very much a symbol of rebellion. Although, of course, once again, in our society, pirates are almost becoming fashionable with some people. But the Bible says, for example, in 1 Samuel 15:23a, out of rebellion, it says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And also Psalm 68 verse 6b says, the rebellious dwell in a dry land. You will notice that many tattoos have devils and satanic imagery, and I don't think that's a coincidence either. So I think there's a very clear case. We could go on to many other scriptures, but once again, it's connected with disobedience of that scripture in Leviticus that we read. It's connected with rebellion. It's connected with pride. It's also saying, I'm going to mark myself, not the Lord. There's meanings attached to tattoos, but the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So it must reflect God's purposes, not doing things that deliberately destroy or harm the body. Tattoos are often done with intense at variance to the Lord. For example, to remember or celebrate meaningful events or things, yet God is clear. For example, in Psalm 78, verse 58, it says, "For they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their graven images." You could also look at Philippians 3:8. So let me just address here the trap of many modern churches in relation to this. I've just mentioned it before, but many churches erroneously think they must be relevant, so conclude that tattoos and alcohol drinking and other things are fine, and they become very loose in morality. But the Bible's very clear. Romans 12:2a says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." And it bears well to have a look at James 4, verse 4 as well. Let's look at that one. James 4, 4. If you're saying, well, I'm relevant to the world in terms of I'm going to become more like the world, you're going the opposite direction to the Lord. And James 4:4 says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." And the world, of course, has Satan as its God, little g, God, satanic ruler. He's a spiritual ruler over the world. I'm going to be doing a sermon series related to the deception that's in the world. We cannot be people that think that, oh, we'll be a relevant church. We have to be a biblical church, okay? Hebrews 11:12 says that we are strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We're here for a particular mission, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Titus 2 verse 14 calls us a peculiar people. So we're not relevant, but peculiar. We're strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Strangers on the earth. We don't fit in, okay? You should not want to fit into the world. Obviously, we've got to cooperate with people in the world. The Bible says, as much as is possible within you, as much as it's possible, live peaceably with all men. So sometimes it's not possible, but if it's at all possible, then you live peaceably with them. But you cannot join in with their sin. You cannot join in, as we've looked at, with their alcohol drinking or their tattooing or their swearing or their other ways of thinking and behaving. We have to have a biblical way and biblical standards. Okay, let me just mention about this area, because I think it's quite a large area. The body is not for fornication. And obviously fornication is sexual activity outside of marriage. And the Bible says, for example, in 1 Corinthians 6 verse 13b and verse 18, it says, "Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And the commandment is, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." Now, the pornography industry is built around sexual lust. It's built around fornication. Okay? And we have to understand that it is enormously damaging in our society, and particularly with the advent of the internet, it's made the availability of it very, very accessible, even for young and very young people. So there is a big problem in this area, a massive problem, and we must be people that have no compromise in this area. Now, whoremongers are those that push this whorish, fornication type behaviour. So you can see that the pornographers would be in that category. Hebrews 13 verse 4 says, marriage is honourable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Okay. It's not a neutral area at all for Christians. And yet we hear of people compromising, thinking it's okay to live together before marriage, etc., etc. And I'm not going to go into too much detail about this, but it is a big area that destroys the body of people. Revelation 21 verse 8 shows what company whoremongers, and I think, as I said before, the media has a lot to answer for in this, and the pornographers, and even those pushing stuff in various films and so on, and particularly, you know, nudity and various scenes that Christians should not look at all. A very bad company whoremongers are in. It says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Look, my desire is sometime down the track to really talk in great detail with particularly young men as they come out of the world and into living Christian holy lives. Matthew 5:28 is a really big scripture which addresses this area. Jesus spoke this. He says, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And surely that's what the pornography industry is all about. Of course, it does go into other things as well, of which I'm not going to explain to you. But clearly, it's a very damaging area. So right thinking for the body. The body is connected to how we think, so we should develop right thinking. Renew your mind to God's ways. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones, says Proverbs 14, verse 30. And also Proverbs 4 verse 20 to 22 says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. We won't turn to it, but Proverbs 3, 7 and 8 also shows that connection, as well as Proverbs 16, 23 and 24. So we can see that God's words in the midst of your heart is really going to have an effect on your flesh. So take advantage of that. The internet has wonderfully opened up lots of material for us to be able to, for example, listen to sermons, get godly articles and the Word of God and so on, books, etc. There's a lot of openness now to be able, and accessibility for us to be able to get the Word of God into our heart, and that will have a direct impact on your outer man or your flesh. So health and healing for the body. The scriptures speak much about health and healing, so we should trust in God for this and do right things. I won't go into detail as to look at all these scriptures, but I'm going to mention them. So if anyone wants to, in the future, go through these. This will also be a study up on the Victory Faith Centre website. So what are some of the right things we can do to ensure health and healing for our body? Believe the word of God. And John 8, 31, 32 and 36 talks about that. Have joy in God, or a merry heart. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. We read that before. So we could see Proverbs 15, 13 to 15 and Proverbs 17, verse 22. Be holy. We talked about living holy lives, not sinning. And there's many scriptures we could go through, but you can have a look at Psalm 86, verse 2 and John 5, verses 12 to 14. Cultivate proper confession, wholesome tongue. And Proverbs 12, 18 talks about that. Also, have the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 19, verse 23 says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. So the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Christians need to have a hatred of evil. This is a good hatred. That fear of the Lord will tend to life and to you doing things that will go towards life and not death. You know, for example, the Bible talks about the tongue. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. And you'll eat the fruit of it. You'll eat the fruit of that. If you're saying death things and things out of line with the word of God, that's the type of fruit you would get. But if you have the fear of the Lord, what will you be saying? You'll be wanting your tongue to be used in a wholesome way. It's a wholesome tongue. So cultivate a sound mind, renewed by God's words. And we've read this before. We won't look at it again, but you can see that in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. We need to be people that believe the word of God. John 8, verses 31, 32 and 36 says this. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And of course that includes freedom from addictions, from bodily addictions, freedom from mental strongholds, and so on. So we need to look to Jesus. We need to continue in his word. And the truth you know will make you free. Glory to God. Have joy in God. Proverbs 15, 13 to 15 and 17, verse 22 says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast in God. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. We've talked a lot about be holy, such as Psalm 86 verse 2. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Glory to God. And of course in John 5, Jesus said, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Biblical confession, Proverbs 12, 18 says, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. So there's a lot of things we can do to make sure that there's health in our body. Proverbs 18, 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. We talked about the fear of the Lord tendeth to life. Glory to God. But don't have the fear of evil. Remember, we talked about that sweet sleep. You need to get fear out of you. Psalm 23 verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And we could see, for example, in Isaiah 54, verse 14, in righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression. And sickness is called oppression in Acts 10:38, as an example. For thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Cultivate a sound mind. We should gird up the loins of our mind, be sober, and be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So know the truth. God condemns sin in the flesh by sending Christ, according to Romans 8, verse 3. How are you going to walk? If you're going to walk biblically, you'll walk after the Spirit. And Romans 8, verse 1 to 4 talks about walking after the flesh or walking after the Spirit. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for the work you're doing in our midst, in our hearts, in our bodies, in our minds, in our spirits. Father, I pray that every person here be blessed abundantly, and there be revelation as to what you want done in our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory.